Welcome, everyone, to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. This is Corinne. Let's join together in this present moment, which, as we know from A Course in Miracles, is the closest to eternity that there is in this world. So taking a nice, mindful breath in and out. Turning our awareness within to the love and willingness within our minds. And offering that love and willingness to the Holy Spirit, who will use it on behalf of our awakening and the awakening of everyone. This holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil, open mind, these are the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. And we place the Holy Spirit in charge by our request. So trusting that we'll hear what we need to hear, we'll share what we need to share, and giving our time together this evening to Spirit. With that love in your heart and light in your mind, coming together to our perception of right here, right now. All right. So, we are beginning in both the Sparkle and Original Editions. It's the very, very beginning of Chapter 14. It's called Bringing Illusions to Truth. It's on page 326 of the Sparkle. And again, Chapter 14, very beginning in the Sparkle and Original Editions. In the Foundation for Inner Peace Edition, we're in Chapter 14, Part 4, Paragraph 7. Again, that's Chapter 14, Part 4, Paragraph 7. It begins with, "Unless you are guiltless, you cannot know God." All right. "Unless you are guiltless, you cannot know God, whose will is that you know him. Therefore, you must be guiltless. Yet if you do not accept the necessary conditions for knowing him, you have denied him and do not recognize him, though he is all around you. He cannot be known without his Son, whose guiltlessness is the condition for knowing him. Accepting his Son as guilty is denial of the Father so complete that knowledge is swept away from recognition in the very mind where God himself has placed it. If you would but listen and learn how impossible this is, do not endow him with attributes you understand. You made him not, and anything you understand is not of him." And I'll pause there. So again, this is just a reminder that our true state is one of complete guiltlessness. And if we hold any thoughts of guilt in our mind, we're completely denying God and we're denying the sonship. And so our task as miracle workers is to allow the guilt to come up to the surface so we can look at it with the Holy Spirit and have it be transformed, have it be undone, which is the atonement, the undoing of fear. I love these last two sentences. "Do not endow him with attributes you understand." What do we understand? We understand a guy with a white beard, right? We understand, like, this idea perhaps of even our idea of love. Love with a capital L far exceeds anything that we can possibly comprehend as what we know of as love. I know we've all had, you know, we've had those experiences of glimpses of coming to know that love with a capital L, but that's still, we still have blocks to knowing that. So I love how it says, "Do not endow him with attributes you understand. You made him not, and anything you understand is not of him." So there, again, to me is a big reminder that my ego mind, my mind, you know, the part of me that thinks that I'm Corinne, everything that I think I understand here is not actually of God. This is part of the dream that I am choosing to dream, being separate from love, from God, from our source. So I love, love, love. I feel like those two sentences are really, really powerful.
You know,
what was that, Paul?
I was just going to say it stood out to me, too. I was at a lecture today, and he was talking about how our mind, you know, everything's linear. So all of our thoughts about God or the universe or whatever, it's all constructed by the limits of our minds. And that's what this is kind of talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. It reminds me, I think I shared this before, but there was a short period of my life where I was really into physics. It was like high school going into college, and I read probably only like a chapter out of this book called Hyperspace, which was written by a physicist. And the one thing that I took from it that I remember is that, and this is not in the context of our, it wasn't relating this, I don't remember what it was relating to, I just remember the example, that if you picture a creature that lives in a sheet of paper, it knows only that plane. It only knows like left or right, like forward or backward. It has no comprehension of up or down. That to me is just such a good visual for our awareness. We can only understand, you know, this level that we've made, and we're not, with our limited perception, capable of fully grasping the reality. We're not capable of fully grasping our true reality. We're like those two-dimensional worms in that plane of paper. Paul, did I hear your voice? Oh, Paul, did you have anything else to add?
I just thought that line is very interesting. Do not endow him with attributes you understand. You made him, and not anything you understand is. And anything you understand is not of him. I mean, that applies to people in general that we associate with.
Right, because we're seeing those ego personalities. We're seeing the limited, you know, separate self with our body's eyes, and we think we understand, and yet what we're seeing in others' ego because we're seeing through our own.
It's I've kind of have a little interesting thing going on right now because I have a friend who keeps asking me to go out with him for dinner, and, you know, I just thought to myself, I'm really not interested in this person, but and at first I felt very uncomfortable. But as I see him more, and I don't endow him with attributes of any kind,
uh-huh.
I'm basically just trying to keep a very open mind and really not get into any judgment or anything. And he turns out to be really a very nice person.
Mm.
Like I'm seeing him in a way that I wouldn't see him if I allowed myself to go into all kinds of judgments around the situation, you know.
And
I think it's really kind of cool.
Yeah, that is. That really is. That's beautiful.
What was that?
Probably a timer or something on somebody's phone. Yeah, I was just thinking how it's like those fresh eyes, that beginner's mind of not, you know, having our preconceived ideas and our filters that we're seeing through, but instead just, you know, seeing.
But I think it applies to anybody that we meet at any time, if we can just,
absolutely,
you know.
And anything, you know, anything it says so clearly, you made him not, and anything you understand is not of him. So that's the totality of the course, is that this course isn't about, how do I want to say this? It's not about making a better world. It's about leading us out, meaning coming to, you know the truth about ourselves. So it's not about making the world a better place. It's about waking up. It's about us waking up and returning our awareness fully to the truth of who we are. So anything that we understand in this world, that's, you know, it's the entire world. We think, you know, think about all the laws of the world. I mentioned physics, nutrition, whatever it may be. Anything that we understand is not of him. That's a pretty complete statement.
Yeah.
pretty threatening to the ego, too.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to say, Corinne, when you mentioned the laws of the world, I've had a couple experiences where Holy Spirit was guiding me to not adhere to the laws of the world.
Nice.
And that was extremely uncomfortable for me because I've always been like such a rule follower. But I've been given direct guidance to not follow laws in certain situations, and it all turned out fine, but boy, I was freaked out by it.
That's awesome, though, that you trusted that voice and went with it, and that, you know, everything worked out. It reminds me, there's a part in the course that says you may be guided to, you know, say things that end up being quite embarrassing or quite uncomfortable, but, you know, not to worry about it because, you know, you're listening and following that guidance. So that's beautiful. How about we read the next paragraph? Your task is not to make reality. It is here without your making, but not without you. You who have thrown yourselves away and valued God so little, hear me speak for him and for yourselves. You cannot understand how much your Father loves you, for there is no parallel in your experience of the world to help you understand it. There is nothing on earth with which it can compare, and nothing you have ever felt apart from him that resembles it ever so faintly. You cannot even give a blessing in perfect gentleness. Would you know of one who gives forever and who knows of nothing except giving? So here again, just another reminder that we don't understand God in the best place, that place that we've talked about so many times, the I don't know, is just such a freeing place to be. We don't know what anything is for, just like the lesson in the workbook says. Anybody have anything come up so far? Any questions or insights?
This really relates to everyone and everything we know. And that's why he says, yet if you do not accept the necessary conditions for knowing him, you have denied him and do not recognize him, though he is all around you.
I'm so glad you brought that up, and it's really funny that you brought that up because even before you got to the end of that sentence, it just occurred to me to highlight that although it says anything you understand is not of him, meaning, you know, what we see with the body's eyes was made as this, you know, giant hallucination, this dream of separation. Although you could say, you know, everything that we see with the body's eyes is not real, remember the lesson too, God is in everything I see because God is in my mind. So literally, God is everywhere. We're not apart from him, and that's our mistake, is that we think we are, that we actually pulled off this idea of separation. So I'm so glad that you highlighted that, Paula. I feel like that's a critical point to bring up.
And that's really the fact that there's no separation between any of us and God.
Right.
And really, the only thing that keeps us separate is our judgments.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. That's what.
For or against ourselves or them, whoever they may be.
Those judgments create that gap, that space. Then, you know, for the ego to come in. I'll just share really quick. I just finished. I'm reviewing Carrie Triffitt, who some of you might know some of her books. She just wrote another one, and I'm reviewing it for her. And I just finished today, and she's hysterical. It's called I want to get the title straight. Tastes Like God. I don't have my iPad with me, so I can't tell you the subheading, but it's something about, you know, the spiritual life or how. It's basically how her search for a flat belly led to, you know, spiritual awakening, and then she has in parentheses, flat belly still pending. She's just, her sense of humor is really funny. And I was having, like, you know, my eyes were opening as I was reading her books. It was just such a beautiful exploration of even looking at our beliefs in food and how we endow certain foods with healthful properties and other foods with unhealthy properties, when in fact it's all God. So butter, sugar, or kale, it's all, you know, it's part of the dream, but the fabric of it, you know, behind everything, beneath everything, is the love of God that we're terrified of. And so she was saying how, you know, in truth, the body doesn't even need to eat. I remember, if those of you who used to attend the in-person study group with my stepdad, he used to talk about how, you know, in truth, the body doesn't need drinks, it doesn't need food. You know, there is no body, actually, in truth. We don't need those things because we just are. Here, because of the beliefs that we have and the laws that we've bought into, you know, of nutrition and of health and what that means, are actually blocks to us knowing, you know, who we truly are. So essentially this book is her journey of looking at these beliefs with spirit and sort of, you know, looking at them, bringing them up to the surface in order to get the miracle instead, to exchange those beliefs for truth. So I definitely recommend it when it comes out. It's a good book. How about we read the next paragraph? The children of heaven live in the light The children of heaven live in the light of the blessing of their Father because they know that they are sinless. The atonement was established as the means of restoring guiltlessness to the mind which has denied it, and thus denied heaven to itself. Atonement teaches you the true condition of the Son of God. It does not teach you what you are or what your Father is. The Holy Spirit, who remembers this for you, merely teaches you how to remove the blocks that stand between you and what you know. His memory is yours. If you remember what you have made, you are remembering nothing. Remembrance of reality is in him and therefore in you. Again, I love this paragraph, and I just want to highlight, it switches between the small you and, like, the you, capital Y, you. You know, the small self versus the capital S self. So when it says that the Holy Spirit, who remembers this for you, merely teaches you how to remove the blocks that stand between you and what you know. What you know, meaning the capital S self knows. His memory is yours. If you remember what you have made, that's the lowercase s self. If you remember what you have made, you are remembering nothing. So again, that's the ego level. So I just wanted to highlight that. I love that sentence. The Holy Spirit, who remembers this for you, merely teaches you how to remove the blocks that stand between you and what you know. Isn't it, like, reassuring that we already know this? that's really reassuring.
It's also reassuring that it's a slow process, because that was another part of the lecture I was at today. It was by a clinical psychologist. We were talking about trauma, and he comes from a non-dual perspective, and he was talking about people who have these, like, you know, automatic experiences where they experience the oneness, and how then the ego, like, goes crazy and they can't really survive in the world. And I was really appreciating the course and how, like, it takes us through, like, step by step, gently wakes us up a little at a time, instead of it being like this big jarring experience.
Right. I'm so grateful for that too. And I was scared for years about, just like I said before, and I don't know if this went through anybody's mind, but when I said, you know, the course is here leading us out of the world, it's not about, you know, making the world our home, that used to arrive, I used to have a lot of fear come up surrounding that thought, because it was like, oh, if I ace the course, I'm going to get whiffed away. Like, poof, I'm just not going to be here anymore. And that's not how it works at all. Not how it works at all. And it was so reassuring to me to learn, Paul, to reflect what you just said, how gentle of a process this really is. It is so gentle. It's super kind.
Karen, that's funny that you said that, because, oh, did I hit someone else? I didn't want to.
Oh, no, go ahead. I'll wait.
I felt the same, but what was even funnier for me in terms of my experience was
when I would look to other people who I think maybe people that I'm reading about or about who are doing the course or who are interested, I'm expecting all these kind of monkish looking people.
Uh-huh.
So the more and more I come across people who just, you know, are just normal people who speak in various different ways, I'm like, oh, wow. I mean, it's funny to me just because the perception that I had before.
Uh-huh.
But now realizing that any personality, any background, really anybody can take this and apply it to their personality. And it doesn't change your personality per se.
Right.
But it does, so that's just interesting to hear you say that. Because I had this thought of just monks and really, really enlightened people,
right,
who never said curse words or only did the good stuff. So, yeah.
I love it. I love it. That's awesome. Thank you for sharing. Deidre, were you going to add something?
Oh, yeah. I was just going to share a really funny experience that I had today. I was sitting with Spirit this morning, and I was asking for guidance in a specific area because I wasn't quite sure what, Holy Spirit wanted me to do. And so I was like, okay, so show me a sign if I'm supposed to go in this direction. First I was like, show me an owl, have an owl show up in some, because I was like, that's kind of random. I had watched a video earlier that somebody had used an owl. So I was like, okay, show me an owl. But then I changed my mind and I was like, no, instead of showing me an owl, show me a butterfly. So my day goes on and I'm sort of waiting for the butterfly, and then I'm noticing myself waiting for the butterfly. In the meantime, I'm not kidding you. This is the absolute truth. Owls are not something I see normally, but I had encountered 7 owls today.
Oh, my gosh.
7 owls. So then when I saw the owls, I was like, wait a minute, I'm confused. Is the owl a sign, or am I still waiting for the butterfly? So then a few minutes later, after that, I see this huge picture of a butterfly with the word trust on it.
Oh my gosh.
And
wow.
I just started laughing. Hilarious. And then I looked up, the meaning of the number 7, which is the outcome to this situation will be, it's coming to fruition and will be better than you imagine. So I saw 7 owls and 2 butterflies.
Wow. That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that, because that's just such a, it's so helpful to hear. It's really, really helpful to hear.
You're welcome.
I feel like the experiences that we're able to share with one another help, build one another's trust, and that's just awesome. Oh, wow.
Again, that thing that we've been talking about tonight is we think that there's God has limits, but there's no limits.
Right. None whatsoever.
None whatsoever.
And in our limited mind, it's hard to conceive of what limitlessness is like.
Yeah.
All right, let's read the next paragraph. Guilt and guiltlessness. The guiltless and the guilty are totally incapable of understanding one another. Each perceives the other as like himself, making them unable to communicate because each sees the other unlike the way he sees himself. God can communicate only to the Holy Spirit in your mind, because only he shares the knowledge of what you are with God. And only the Holy Spirit can answer God for you, for only he knows what God is. Everything else that you have placed within your mind cannot exist, for what is not in communication with the mind of God has never been. Communication with God is life. Nothing without it is at all. How awesome. What a great reminder. This middle sentence, I have it underlined. God can communicate only to the Holy Spirit in your mind because only he shares the knowledge of what you are with God. And only the Holy Spirit can answer God for you, for only he knows what God is. That, to me, is just such another great reminder that we can't do this of ourselves. We can't find our way out of a thought system with that thought system. We need something outside to help us out, and that's the Holy Spirit.
And, boy, when we remember to ask for the Holy Spirit's help.
Right.
It is amazing.
It really is.
I was going out with friends last night, and I had this jewelry I wanted to put on. And, you know, I live alone, and the jewelry has a very small latch. I really wanted to wear it, but it's hard to get on. And I just thought, and the bracelet that goes with it is hard to get on. And I remembered to ask, and I said, help me with this. And I'm telling you, I put it on effortlessly. It came off at the end of the evening effortlessly. I struggle with this thing, the bracelet and this necklace, if I don't ask for his help.
Wow.
Throughout the day, I was gardening, and I'd just run into one thing after the next. You know, and every time I remembered to ask, I would get the instantaneous solution to the problem. It's really quite amazing. But when I think I can do it myself and handle it myself, yeah.
Right. that's such a beautiful little example of jewelry. Like, even, you know, nothing is outside of the possibility of us asking for assistance.
This is what Deidre was just saying. God is not limited by anything.
Yeah.
Right.
This is a practical course. This is
so practical. So practical. I've had a ton of things on my plate lately, and asking for help has been the only way. I mean, it's been too overwhelming to do it by myself, and I've been asking for help, and it's been that effortlessness again. It's been that flow, and it's just such a beautiful, again, example for me. That we're not alone. The Holy Spirit is actually real. These aren't just words. It works.
Yeah. And I think the speed up is when you really trust it, you know, and you really believe it.
Yes. Absolutely. Let's read another paragraph. The only part of your mind that has reality is the part which links you still with God. Would you have all of it transformed into a radiant message of God's love to share with all the lonely ones who denied him with you? God makes this possible. Would you deny his yearning to be known? You yearn for him as he for you. This is forever changeless. Accept then the immutable. Leave the world of death behind and return quietly to heaven. There is nothing of value here and everything of value there. Listen to the Holy Spirit and to God through him. He speaks of you to you. There is no guilt in you, for God is blessed in his Son as the Son is blessed in him. The only part of our mind that has reality is the part which links us still with God. As it says elsewhere in the Course, the only, you know, truth of our experience here is the only true part of the world is whatever part of it we look upon with love, and that's, again, the love through the Holy Spirit, not the ego's special love. Does anybody have any resistance come up to that second sentence? Would you have all of it transformed into a radiant message of God's love to share with all the lonely ones who denied him with you? I'm just wondering if, again, going back to that statement that I made earlier about, and nobody has to actually answer this question, but that earlier statement about this course is about leading us out of the world versus making this a better place. if you notice the tiniest bit of hesitation or resistance to that, I still sense it in me. So I'm speaking from experience here. that resistance.
No, I still like some drama.
Yeah, right? It's fun being Corinne sometimes, maybe most of the time.
I like that contrast.
It's a hard habit to break, right? So if we, we like that contrast, right? So if we can look, all the Course is asking us to do is to look at that resistance with the Holy Spirit. We don't have to force it to be different. We don't have to make ourselves feel otherwise or talk ourselves into anything. It's all about acknowledging that fleeting, subtle resistance or fleeting, subtle fear or whatever that, you know, fleeting, subtle thought may be. It's all about simply noticing that and being willing to look at it with the Holy Spirit. That's all we have to do.
Every time I hear something pertaining to it being just okay where we are, which is what I'm picking up from this, what you just shared, I think that's the biggest thing that I think that is constantly blessing me as I, you know, be on these calls, is the constant reminder that it's okay, because prior to starting these calls, I was like in this constant turmoil of, you shouldn't be here. You should stop. You know about your ego now. Why are you letting it control you? Why? And then I would get really pissed at myself. And then I'm pissed at the Course, and I'm pissed at with God. Like, don't you see me trying? You know? So just to hear you say, like, it's about the acknowledgement. And then what, you know, something that Deirdre has said is, you know, you're never off your path. And how I say is, hey, you know what? I am where I am. Look, you listen. I'm trying. So that's pretty cool.
Beautiful. Oh, so helpful.
Yeah, I really love that part, too. And I had some stuff come up. We all have stuff coming up. But, like, some moments where I kind of caught myself in it, and I was like, oh, crap, I went there again. again. Right, because it wasn't even just like a one-off thing. It was like a recurring one. And then I don't know who it was last week, but someone mentioned, what was it? It was on page, which one was it? Hold on, I have it marked. Someone mentioned, on page 90, that there's this prayer I must have decided wrongly because I'm not at peace. Someone mentioned it last week, and I highlighted it. I must have referred back to that like at least 18 times this week.
Oh, and it works, too.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, that is it.
I think I had mentioned that last week, too, with the whole office drama thing I had happen, and I was feeling that guilt come up, like, oh, I shouldn't have been reactive. I should have just, you know, blah, blah, blah. I ended up meeting with the landlord, like, a couple days later, who's also one of my supervisors, and totally changed. The whole vibe was different. And she was so supportive and so different than the email that I was just, you know, reading into, and ends up, like, it all worked out. And I was worried that the relationship was going to change and all this stuff. And, no, I just let it go. And I said, you know, change this to, you know, I mean, I read page 90 and then just released it and just said, I want this to be peaceful. And that's what happened. Spirit undid it.
Awesome.
That is the most, honestly, I think, the thought that the Holy Spirit will undo all the consequences if you will let him, in any situation that we're in that really feels uncomfortable, that is the most powerful thing.
And it's like what you said earlier, too, it's the more you do it, that's when, in the end, it builds the trust, and you really start to see how it helps, you know, how it works.
And that's the speed up. I mean, he talks about the speed up in here.
And it really wasn't to, like, make anything happen. Like, it wasn't something like, you know, this had to happen. It was more like just wanting everything to be peaceful and to see, you know, it's a certain feeling, like, that came out of it. Mm-hmm. Like, it just, it was the miracle. It's like, yeah, that's what it was.
It's just natural. It's that's what blows my mind every time. It's just this natural flow that seems to take place.
Yeah, and you actually
when you
got
get
a,
out of the way.
Well,
go ahead,
I'm sorry, I forgot your name, the one who just talked about The Office.
Oh, Paul.
Oh, hi. Okay, well, you brought up, you mentioned something that I think is really important. Well, it stuck out to me, which was the, I didn't really want to get anything out of it. I just wanted to feel better, basically. And I was thinking back to my situation that I was dealing with. And that's really all it was, too. And I think maybe a couple years ago when I first heard about this, I would have been trying to, like, get something out of it, right? I would have been like, God, I want to pray for this, right? Like, this specific thing, right? And it's kind of changed lately to, I just want to feel better. That's it, right?
Yeah.
And then when
yeah.
I feel better, then the change happens.
Ah, oh, yes.
Totally. Totally.
Yes.
That's it.
Awesome. Yes.
I think that's like kind of like a spiritual maturity. I think that does come, but it takes time. I mean, I can totally identify with that. And it took a while to get to the place where I started changing that a little bit. I'm still
yeah.
working.
I just want to go back to and highlight, since we were talking about the page 90 prayer, you know, the fact that it says the Holy Spirit will undo all the consequences of my wrong decision if I will let him. And that to me has just been so, again, so comforting because I can't F anything up. Like I can't, anything that happens is it's all just a mistake. It's all undoable. And I can't, you know, I can't screw up. I can't screw it up. And so that prayer is just, it's just perfect.
Colleen, what
perfect
chapter is that prayer
big
in?
Big reset button. I'm sorry, Alicia Beth, was that you?
I'm sorry. What chapter is it in? Because, I mean, for me, it's not on page 90. I'm just
curious.
Oh,
right. I will tell you real quick. So the edition that you have, it's the
mm-hmm.
very last sentences of chapter 5.
Oh, okay.
You can find it that way. Good, good, good. Okay, let's read the next paragraph.
Okay.
Each one of you has a special part to play in the atonement, but the message given to each to share is always the same. God's Son is guiltless. Each one teaches the message differently and learns it differently. Yet until he teaches it and learns it, he will suffer the pain of dim awareness that his true function remains unfulfilled in him. The burden of guilt is heavy, but God would not have you bound by it. His plan for your awakening is as perfect as yours is fallible. You know not what you do, but he who knows is with you. His gentleness is yours, and all the love you share with God, he holds in trust for you. He would teach you nothing except how to be happy. I feel like that last sentence, Amanda, what you were just saying, you want to feel better, and that's what this is about.
Yeah.
Teaching us nothing except how to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. So I love how it says this, too, that we each one teaches the message differently and learns it differently, but the message is always the same. God's Son is guiltless. Let's read the next paragraph. Blessed Son of a Holy Blessing Father, joy was created for you. Who can condemn whom God has blessed? There is nothing in the mind of God that does not share his shining innocence. Creation is the natural extension of perfect purity. Your only calling here is to devote yourself with active willingness to the denial of guilt in all its forms. To accuse is not to understand. The happy learners of the atonement become the teachers of the innocence that is the right of all that God created. Deny them not what is their due, for you will not withhold it from them alone. So I'll just give a quick example. That middle sentence, your only calling here is to devote yourself with active willingness to the denial of guilt in all its forms. I referenced Carrie Triffitt's new book and how food can be loaded with guilt in many different ways for different people. And one of the things that she said that, you know, again, food is completely neutral. So whether it's a tablespoon of butter or a tablespoon of water, in truth, it's completely neutral. And so this sentence here, our only calling here is to devote ourselves with active willingness to the denial of guilt in all its forms. It wouldn't have been a place that I would have thought to look for guilt before. And so reading her book just was another reminder of, like, all the different places that guilt can show up for us. And, you know, again, the accompanying belief that, oh, if I eat that, it's going to hurt me or not be good for me. That's a form of guilt and something that can be looked at with spirit.
Yeah, money is another one
that
people don't
absolutely
think of it. But I was at I taught at a retreat yesterday for women entrepreneurs for this organization called Confessionals, and they had their annual retreat and they had me teach. And there was one woman on the retreat, and she was 35 years old, and she kind of, it's called Business for Your Soul, by the way, so it wasn't like a marketing sales type thing.
Uh-huh.
And one of the women who was participating during my talk, because I teach about personal finance topics, and she was 35 years old, and she basically, like, broke down because she was like, I'm 35 years old, and my parents still have to help me out. Like, I'm so ashamed, right? And basically, like, we all had to, like, come together and be like, it's okay, like, it's fine, you know? It's like, you don't need to feel guilty about this. And then, you know, people sharing their stories of how they've been helped in many different ways by different people. And then there was another one who was saying how she was very financially successful. She was the most financially successful one in her family. And she felt guilty because she felt guilty for doing better than her family members.
Wow.
So whenever they would come to her for money, right, she would just give it freely, even though she didn't want to because she knew she would never see it again.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Uh-huh.
But she just kept doing it over and over and over again because she felt so guilty of being more financially stable than the rest of her family. So that's just another area where, like, it comes up all the time.
Yeah, that's a big area, a big one. Oh, thank you for that example.
Yeah.
Another place to let that layer of the onion come up to bring it to the light. Ask for that miracle instead.
I'm so glad we're talking about the other ways that guilt come up, because I tend to think, you know, I still find myself thinking more along the lines of the traditional, what we perceive as wrongdoing. So I'm like, well, I'm not stealing or lying or this or this or this or that, you know, but as you all have been speaking and sharing your stories, I'm like, all this other, like, areas of places that I feel guilty about is coming up. And when you said that whole thing about your, you know, her mother, like, so I am 30 and I live with my mother. My mother pretty much takes care of me. And I have, like, frequent anxiety over it that I've been, that I've recently been trying to really get over. So just to hear you say that, I can relate so much, because I feel the kind of guilt, like, you think that I was doing something wrong to my mother, but the just the deep guilt, you know. And on a side note, I'll say, you know, okay, so I'm a communications major, and so something that we was talking about not too long ago is how, you know, based on the cultures that you grew up in, and so in America, you know, we value independence, and so we're taught that.
I brought that up
beginning.
Yesterday. Yeah, I brought that exact same thing up yesterday, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm so glad you shared that, because that's like my story right now, and I'm always like, God, help me, please, but I'm trying to just let myself, and just on a really quick note, so I crashed my car a couple of weeks ago, a lot of just spiraling out of effect issues. Anyway, turns out my mother ended up having to pay for me to get it fixed. She was already kind of in a bind for some other things. And now I have my car back, and I'm happy about it, but still just that guilt, because it was my fault. That accident was my fault. that guilt just kind of sits with me. And now when I need other things and I need to come with her, like even now I've been like, oh, I need to ask her for help. But because of that and because she had to spend so much more money than she would normally spend out, like I'm like eating up with it. So the fact that you brought that up, it just kind of raised that up to the surface. I was like, ouch, but it's good because
it is good.
It's comforting at the same time.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
If it makes you feel any better, like, I'm 27 and I still live with family. I'm Cuban, so culturally speaking, I'm not really expected to leave until I'm in a white dress or a casket. I was born in the U.S., so I have, like, that American independence thing going.
Yeah.
And I had to move back home because I couldn't find work after graduating, and I've been building a business ever since. And it's taken a while to get to a point where I'm like, oh, okay, my accountant says we're good, right?
Yeah.
But I've had people, like, come after me, like, on Huffington Post Live and all that kind of stuff, like, basically projecting, like, their issues around independence and all that kind of stuff on me. And there's a really this whole narrative of, like, yeah, you know, you were a failure if you had to move back home, like, 5 years ago, that's what it was.
Yeah.
And then this month, I got the new issue of Money Magazine this month. And the narrative has, like, totally changed because they had this, like, guide for new grads in this month's issue. And one of the things that they mentioned was, like, yeah, you're probably going to have to move back home for a while, and it's okay. And I'm like, they never would have said that 5 years ago.
Right. Wow.
Wow.
There's a line, and I've had this, I'm in the same boat as you guys. There's a line in lesson number 135, and I refer to it often. It says, "What could you not accept if you but knew that everything that happens, all events, past, present, and to come, are gently planned by the one whose only purpose is your good."
Oh, you're gonna have to say what that is again.
Okay. It's lesson 135. I defend myself, I am attacked, and I would suggest reading it. I read it, the whole thing. It's pretty long, but I read it over and over when I get into that mode of guilt and why am I here and why is this happening to me. It's like, oh, it's all on purpose. It's all okay.
That's wonderful.
Beautiful. And Alicia, when you were sharing. I got excited. Just to hear you say, like, you know, the guilt now, it was sort of coming up to the surface, you know, or being triggered or whatever by the conversation, and you said that's good, and I was like, yes, and it is good. You know, the normal response that we might want to do is to push it away. You know, we want it to go away. We don't want to feel that. We feel bad about feeling that way. But just like, you know, we've been talking with letting yourself be where you're at, letting that the reason that guilt is coming up is because it's another opportunity to heal it. It's rising to the surface again to see if yet again will we take it to the Holy Spirit. And it's going to keep coming up until, you know, we make that choice to take it to the Holy Spirit. So, but again, it's so simple that it's that tiny, tiny bit of willingness that we just have to look at it with Spirit. So, it's a perfect opportunity to ask for a miracle in exchange for the guilt. Doesn't it sound better to, like, it's not even, it's an exchange. You know, we might think that we are losing something if we're letting go of guilt in some sort of form, or that it's going to mean that, like, you know, we're not grateful or whatever it is. We don't lose a thing. It's that exchange. We give up that guilt and we get back that miracle.
I just wanted to share too, because I think it's really awesome just to show how connected we all are, because we're all interconnected.
Yeah.
So almost everybody on this call has shared that they've had to move home, and I moved home in my 30s after my undergraduate degree, and I went through, like, this was way before I came to ACIM, but I went through such a period of guilt. But it was that guilt that propelled me to accept, you know, my intuitive gifts and start really studying the Course. So I would not be here today had I not moved home and had that experience. So it's exactly like Paul shared with the lesson, like everything's been planned perfectly for you. And if you just accept that God is the source of everything, it makes every experience easier to, like, even if you don't understand the why at the time, like, I didn't understand why I got my undergrad in something that I didn't really want. But now I'm starting to understand why that happened. And this is years later, like, literally years later in linear time. But God knows why. So...
That is awesome.
It really
That's
is.
Absolutely awesome.
And I just want to throw in there too, because I feel moved to share. That lesson 135 is so powerful, and you know the line that Paul read, that you know, planned by the one whose only purpose is your good. The temptation of the ego is to take that and then to say, oh well, God makes the bad stuff happen too. You know, that 9/11 must have been planned. God did that for our good. But, you know, that's – I'm only highlighting this in case there's that subtle thought somewhere in that. And it's important to remember that nothing bad, hurtful, painful comes from the Holy Spirit. It's the ego script playing itself out. The lesson in any situation is the miracle, is God showing, is the Holy Spirit showing that there's another way to look at it. There's a miracle there. There's a shift. So I just wanted to highlight that one piece, because I know that I share that only because that was a stumbling point for me for a long time.
Hey, family.
Hi, Carla.
Hey. I know I'm the late shift, but I wanted to just thank y'all so much for being courageous in your shares. Audacious, even. Thank you. I, too, have my own guilt around some things that have been in my experience that are as a result of behaviors that, I guess, in the world of form were, I guess, not good and positive behaviors, and I still... experience the effects of those behaviors today after years. And I was just having a conversation with another brother about how much guilt I still feel about that. And it was very helpful to hear that the only true denial is the denial of the guilt. You know, that's the most helpful form of it. Yet at the same time, that prayer, take this from me, from the obstacle to peace, I believe that the Holy Spirit take this from me, look upon judging it for me, let me not see it as a sign of sin and death or destruction, and teach me how not to make of it an obstacle to peace, but let you use it for me to facilitate that my peace is coming. And I got to tell you, when I get to that very last sentence, that's where I feel some relief. That's where I start going, okay, it's going to be all right. But because this has been something that's been so pervasive for me, and it connects with another experience, issue for me, it almost feels like it wears me out, like what it requires for me to give up to the Holy Spirit. It's like that's a full-time job right there. You know, for how much I use it to offend myself on a consistent basis. So I'm still a work in progress with that. And I certainly would appreciate if y'all pray for me, because I'm going to certainly pray, you know, for the love of God to express itself in ways that you actually can notice in your life. So I just kind of needed to say that I'm not where I would like to be with that, and it threatens my peace and my sanity pretty damn often. So I just need to say that, and thank you so much, y'all.
Oh, thank you for sharing, Carla. You got it. I'm holding you in the light, my love. willing to see only what is true and uphold only what is true. So thank you for sharing. All right, everyone, we're at the top of the hour. So thank you all for such a rich conversation and discussion, and I feel elevated. So I love you all. Thank
love
you,
too.
And
love you guys.
We'll Zoom next week.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Have a great week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.